Welcome to the Modern Woodworkers Association, a podcast about woodworking from folk who woodwork. Woodworking is what we do, who we are, and what we like to talk about. So join us as we have a drink, sit around, and talk woodworking.
Hi, and welcome to the 344th episode of the Modern Woodworkers Association podcast. I'm Kyle Barton. I'm here with my co-hosts Sean Wisniewski and Mark Hicks. Today, we're asking Dan Swank the five questions. So welcome back to the show, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, first up, how did you get into woodworking?
I got into woodworking when I got married. My father-in-law was actually retired when we got married. It was late 1994, and he was a woodworker. Mm-hmm. And he told my wife and I, well, my wife did a little too. He told my wife and I that for a wedding present, I will help you build a corner cupboard, china cupboard, and buy all the materials for you. So That's what got me. So it was really kind of a neat experience to go through that.
That is kind of cool.
Like, was there a particular style or?
Well,
did he have something picked out already?
Well, he had one that he had built himself. And I more or less patterned it off of his. It's kind of a, I guess you'd say almost like a country style. There wasn't anything fancy about it. His actually had a panel door in it, but I decided to make a 9-light or 12-light door, whatever it is, a glass door. And we just made it out of pine, and the interior was painted and, you know, pretty simple stuff, but pretty intriguing to me, having never done something like that before.
Did that lead to a flurry of projects?
Well, the next thing that happened, so we built that cupboard in his shop because I didn't have anything. And then my dad saw this corner cupboard, and he decided he wanted two of them, one in each corner of the dining room. He was telling me about a guy he knew that he was thinking about asking to do it. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if I make them for him and he pays me for them, I can afford to start buying cool. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So that's the DIY pattern. You every project gets a new tool.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
So speaking of tools, what is your favorite tool?
Well, I would have to say I've got several that I really like. One is the Sterling Toolworks Plane Hammer. Maybe it's because I use it almost constantly. Great tool for setting plane irons. Just the right amount of weight, good feedback with it. Very high quality. That would probably be number one. Number two would be my Lee Nielsen small block plane. I think they call that the 102. I actually have an early
bronze guy.
Well, actually, mine is cast iron. They used to make cast iron or bronze. And back when I bought that, you had that option. And I got the cast iron because it matched my other planes, basically. But, you know, and I've actually sharpened that thing up. I have that thing cutting it probably a 55 or 60 degree angle because I use it a lot on my molding planes, like to finish the chamfers, and that's quarter sawn grain. And that thing just cuts beautiful. I can get just a glassy smooth finish with it.
Nice.
And then my other favorite tool is something I just discovered working on this compass attachment. So I started scouting around to have pencils made that I could sell with the compass attachment. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I wanted to offer a number three pencil, which is a harder core. So it won't wear down like a number two. Mm-hmm. So I found this company down in Tennessee called Musgrave Pencil Company. And I ordered a couple of samples. And if you like wood pencils, man, they're nice. They're made out of cedar. They're a little bit bigger than most, like your standard pencils. You get the imported ones. Nice crisp facets on them, and I'm really liking them. I've tried mechanical pencils. Man, I just hate those things in the shop, especially on rough sawn wood. You know, that it just
yeah.
So, yeah, these number two or number three Musgrave pencils are just a ticket.
Musgrave.
Interesting. Nice.
That's not a company I've heard of before. But
yeah, they're out of Shelbyville, Tennessee, and they've been making pencils, I think, over 100 years. So it's an old company. And
wow. Constantly in the shadow of that yellow pencil company.
Well, they are. Yeah. But, you know, I ordered pencils from them. They're painted red. They got my name on them. I'm going to offer with this compass kit, it'll come with a number 2 and a number 3 pencil. And, you know, they were very, very reasonably priced. So I haven't seen them yet, but I don't think I'll be disappointed.
And being standard very wood, cool. you're not worried about the lead hardness, right? It's not HBH, whatever. Drafting side, so you know, you get a little bit of that.
There's two different grades. So like a 2H pencil is roughly equivalent to a number 3.
Mm-hmm.
You're used to hearing like the number 2 pencil. I think that's close to like an HB.
Right. I think so.
So the number 2, I don't know why they have two systems, but so I actually ordered some of the 2H pencils, but yeah, I wanted to get the number 3 core just because one thing with a wood pencil is a soft lead, a soft right. graphite. You know, it wears down quick, and then your line gets kind of fat, you know, and it's not as accurate.
Right.
The number 3 holds a point a lot longer.
There you go. Pencil talk. How about that? So a little turn of the corner, but who has influenced you the most in your work?
Well, number 1 was my father-in-law to start with.
Yeah, that's big. That's really cool.
Yeah, he's the one that got me going, and you know, I'm forever grateful for that. The second person I would say is her name's Bess Naylor, and she runs the Old Mill Cabinet Shop in York, and she teaches classes there. She used to have different instructors come in, and I took some really good classes on period furniture, and it was all done the traditional way, everything. Moldings, joinery, and she's extremely knowledgeable. You know, I think there's people that are very talented, but they have trouble conveying to others how they do it or why they do it the way they do it. And if I ever ask Bess a question about something, she'd usually give me 3 answers of different techniques that were thought to have been used and the reasons behind them. And she's done a huge amount to expand my understanding of period furniture techniques. The third person would be Larry Williams of Old Street Tool, who's been very free with a lot of his knowledge and techniques. And I've had a lot of questions, and he let me come down and visit him in his shop down in Arkansas. So he was very influential in my plane making to help me with different questions and issues I had there.
Cool.
So again, I can't round it down to just one person.
No, you're good. You're good.
Well, that's at least 2 mentions for Larry Williams so far that I've heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
he's a great guy. He's you know, those guys are, they seem like intent on doing whatever they can to kind of spread the traditional plane making knowledge around.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
gotta really appreciate that.
They're really trying to pass it on. He and Don both. You know, they're getting up into their early 70s now, I think, and you know, they realize that they've accumulated a lot of knowledge, and how do you get that out there for other people to enjoy, you know, or benefit from? So they've been very free that way, and I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Definitely. So what has been your biggest stumbling block?
Well, I think one of my biggest ones from the business standpoint was, when do you know it's time to quit your day job? That was a big one. Looking back, I think I did it at about the right time. Maybe I could have done it a little earlier, but you know, a lot of my fear was, well, I'm going to go from spending 8 hours or 10 hours a week on a hobby to full time. Can I do it? Will I have the work? And I did. So that was a big one. And the other big stumbling block was just learning the fine art of plane making. I mean, there were some real struggles there with different aspects of things to you. You know, if I would have had a mentor right there with me, like Larry Williams, I could have advanced a lot faster. But boy, when you're learning things on your own, it's kind of a long, hard row sometimes. And I had my struggles.
Seems like you got it figured out though.
Well, some days. I told my wife just the other day, I said, you know, as many planes as I've made, you'd think this would be easy, but I said, I'm just down there struggling today. So,
yeah.
It's great. How long, you know, you're working on this craft of making planes, and it is a steep hill to climb. There are very few experts in this. I mean, are you, in your own mind, are you close to being a master toolmaker or plane maker in that aspect?
I'm a lot farther than I was, but I feel like I still have a long ways to go.
I mean, I'm assuming that's a hard thing to do, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think you're also bringing some other competencies to the art of plane making, so to speak. Your experience in doing, you know, the machining and stuff of that nature. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things is I'm not going to sell a plane that I don't think is going to work right. You know, I'm really careful that way. I think I can make planes that look like they're built by a master craftsman or that they work really well, but just the journey to get from raw materials to that finished plane, it feels like I have a long ways to go, if you know what I mean. It's still a struggle a lot of times.
Refining, you know, like refining the process.
Be more efficient and get more consistent results and get that speed down, you know, where you can just knock things out. And I'm still working at that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I totally agree. You know, I don't do near the work you do, but my chair making jigs, I just thought last night of a new process and go, oh, that's going to be much easier. Why haven't I been doing it that way all along? But, you know, and all these things always hit you in the middle of the night sometimes.
Yes, they do.
When you're trying to go to sleep and all of a sudden you think about something and then that keeps you up because you just, yes, that's the way to do it.
I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, your best bet there is just wake up, write it down, and go back and lay down. Because yep. I'll ruminate on it all night long.
Yeah, I know. But anyway.
So, last question here. How has the internet influenced your work?
Well, I mean, obviously, I use the internet. I could not run this business without the internet. And I use it. I don't use it a lot. I wouldn't say for learning. I use it more for promoting and marketing my own products. I mean, obviously, if I'm looking for things or you're looking for supplies or whatever, it's great for that. But generally, yeah, I build a website or I had somebody build me a website. Well, that's part of it. But then how do you get people to your website? So that's when I started getting into the Instagram social media side and trying to push people that way. And so, you know, I couldn't run this business without it. I know that. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity to be able to capitalize on it, I guess we could say. So, yeah, that's been right now, pretty much 100% of my sales are through my website. You know, no shows now, and I don't know when they'll start. So, it's definitely a key part of my business, the whole thing. Yes, the internet website.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of, you know, clear. I mean, you have a very nice website. Your social media presence is good. I mean, that's really good to see that come out there. And I mean, imagine this, like, you know, if you had been 20 years older than you and done this 30 years ago, you know, right, like what that would have been like. You know, there was nothing like this. It would have been a totally different world. You probably still could have found Larry Williams and maybe gotten
to make a
plane. But it would have been different. You know, how would you reach out to people? How would you, you know, do all that stuff?
I do think, though, maybe 30 years ago, like, how do you spend your advertising dollars would have been a lot more straightforward. You know, it's like,
that's fine. Very true.
Fine, yeah. Woodworking. Yeah.
Now you've got so many different opportunities. It's like, well, where do you go? What do you do?
Yeah. There's a lot of new business people learning the art of advertising and promotion, you know, because it's a totally wild, you know, wild west kind of out there. There's a whole bunch of opportunities, and it's crazy out there.
Yes. Yeah, I would say really for me, I haven't been advertising. I don't need to too much. I do advertise in Mortise and Tenon magazine and just a couple other things, but most of it's self-promotion, you know, and that's through the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems to work well. And obviously it works well for you because, you know, I'm sitting there going, oh, I want one of those sold out. I want one of those sold out.
Sold out. Yep.
Well, I tell people, sign up for my newsletter. Sure. That's on my website, because I've gotten in the habit, if I introduce something new or restock something, mm-hmm. I'll send a newsletter out before I'll tell anybody else, because I want those people to have first opportunity at it. So, you know, that's really your fantastic. Best bet. Yeah.
Okay, I will sign up then, yeah, because there's a couple things on there I want, yeah. Yeah, 3/16 beating plane. I actually have one, but it's an eBay find that just doesn't work.
Okay. Well, on the list, I'm going to be doing after these drawer bottoms. I've got some the cock beating planes I'm going to do, and then side beads are next on the list. So they'll probably be sometime this summer. I hope to have cool. them, 'cause I've got a number of people that are waiting for those.
I can imagine. Well, fantastic.
That's how you got to get it. You got to catch them in a run, because that's what the easiest way. You know, you set up the tooling, you make a run of them. So get in with the crowd.
Yeah, when you see him posting in process pictures, that's when it's time to put your order in.
Yep.
Yeah, really.
No, it's probably too late by that point.
Oh, might be. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people, honestly, sometimes people will contact me and, you know, I'll take your emails down, but I think most people just wait for the newsletter, because you like these drawer bottom planes. When I put a newsletter out for those, I wouldn't be surprised those 20 planes are gone in a couple days. You know, I just kind of anticipating that. I could be wrong, but that's what people do. They're just, you know, I've got almost 1,600 subscribers to my newsletter. So, you know, it's getting to be a good size group of people.
Well, mm-hmm. make that 1,601.
And one, right?
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, well, no. It's well-deserved.
Oh, 100%.
Well, with that, so if someone wants to subscribe to your news...
I won't send you a junk promotion every 2 days either, so you can rest assured of that.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, if someone does want to subscribe to your newsletter, where should they go to do that?
Well, if you go to the homepage of my website, just scroll down about the middle of the screen to third or fourth box down. There's a large box that says sign up for the newsletter.
Okay.
What's that site?
RedRoseReproductions.com. Mm-hmm. I guess it's actually RedRoseReproductions.com/newsletter would get you to the newsletter page, but most people will just click on the site and find it from there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, so Mark, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
My website is plate11.com. My Instagram is markbuildsit, and my YouTube channel is plate11 woodworking. Kyle, how about you?
You can always find me at barton.kyle on Instagram. Sean, what about yourself?
I'm SeanW78 on most every social media.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.